what did they say to Pharaoh? Let's continue on here. Verse 3. But Aaron and Moses persisted. The God of the Hebrews has met with us, they declared. So let us take a three-day journey into the wilderness so we can offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. If we don't, he will kill us with the plague or with the sword. Wow. That's what they said? What is it I want you to notice here with these words? Aaron and Moses feared the Lord, which begs the question, why don't we fear the Lord like we should? Why don't we act like this? Why don't we have this great, healthy fear and respect and reverence and awe for the Lord in our lives? I think it's because, like Pharaoh, we're too busy building our own kingdom, right? You and me are just too busy building our own kingdom, so to speak. Let's continue on, verse 4. Pharaoh replied, Moses and Aaron, why are you distracting the people from their task? Get back to work. Look, there are many of your people in the land, and you are stopping them from their work. What Pharaoh said here is what Satan says to us. What Pharaoh said here is what Satan says to us. You don't have time to stop working to honor and worship the Lord. You don't have time for that. He then, Satan, piles on more things for us to do. So we get distracted. And before we know it, we don't have time to go to church. We don't have time to read our Bibles. We don't have time to join a small group with other believers in Christ. We don't have any margin in our schedule to do these things. Because we've listened to that voice. You don't have time to stop working to honor and worship the Lord. Let's continue on, verse 6. That same day, Pharaoh sent this order to the Egyptian slave drivers and the Israelite foremen. Do not supply any more straw for making bricks. Make the people get it themselves. But still require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That's why they're crying out, let us go and offer sacrifices to our God. Load them down with more work. Make them sweat. That'll teach them to listen to these lies. So the slave drivers and foremen went out and told the people. This is what Pharaoh said. I will not provide any more straw for you. Go and get it yourself. Find it wherever you can. But you must produce as many bricks as before. So the people scattered throughout Egypt in search of stubble to use as straw. Meanwhile, the Egyptian slave drivers continued to push hard. Meet your daily quota of bricks, just as you did when we provided you with straw, they demanded. Then they whipped the Israelite foreman they had put in charge of the work crews. Why haven't you met your quotas either yesterday or today, they demanded. So the Israelite foreman went to Pharaoh and pleaded with him. Please don't treat your servants like this, they said. We are given no straw. But the slave drivers still demand, make bricks. We are being beaten, but it isn't our fault. Your own people are to blame. But Pharaoh shouted, you're just lazy. Lazy! That's why you're saying, let us go and offer sacrifices to the Lord. Now get back to work. No straw will be given to you, but you must produce the full quota of bricks. what we get for all our hard work and running around all week to this and that. Why then do we work so hard to meet the expectations of others? Why do we work so hard? Why do we care so much about meeting the expectations of others? Because we've bought into the lie that we must do it to be fulfilled. However, the truth is, we're running on empty and we're unfulfilled. Solomon says it like this in my favorite book of the Bible, Ecclesiastes 2:22. So what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Are you anxious today? Solomon's saying, well, what are you going to achieve? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. It is all so meaningless. Have you stopped to ask yourself what you're working so hard to achieve? Have you stopped to ask yourself that? What am I working so hard to achieve? Is it really worth it? If even at night my mind cannot rest, you know, these people didn't have a choice, but we do. How did the Israelite leaders or foremen react when they left Pharaoh's court? How did they react to all this? Let's read on. Verse 19. The Israelite foremen could see that they were in serious trouble when they were told, you must not reduce the number of bricks you make each day. As they left Pharaoh's court, they confronted Moses and Aaron, who were waiting outside for them. The foreman said to them, may the Lord judge and punish you for making us stink before Pharaoh and his officials. You have put a sword into their hands and an excuse to kill us. Guess you could say they weren't happy about it. They weren't happy about the extra workload, the extra demands on their lives. Here's a question for you. Have you allowed this world to dictate your schedule so that it's killing you? Let that settle and sink in for a moment. Have you allowed this world to dictate your schedule so that it's killing you? Internally. Our natural reaction is to blame someone else, or even the Lord, for the situation that we're in. However, sometimes we have no one to blame but ourselves. Verse 22. Then Moses went back to the Lord and protested, why have you brought all this trouble on your own people, Lord? Why did you send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh as your spokesman, he has been even more brutal to your people. And you've done nothing to rescue them. It's your fault, Lord. Moses says, you've done nothing. Why did Moses act this way? Why did he act this way? Well, his heart was heavy for his people. His heart was heavy for them. You know, my heart is heavy for you who are weary and burdened. I don't want to see you worn out and burned out. What do I want to see? You cutting some things out of your life Lord told Moses, now you will what? Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. When he feels the force of my strong hand, he will let the people go. In fact, he will force them to leave his land. God said to Moses, I am Yahweh, the Lord. I appear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God, as El Shaddai, as God Almighty. But I did not reveal my name Yahweh to them. But I did not reveal my name Yahweh to them? What did he mean by saying that? What did he mean by saying, I did not reveal my name Yahweh to them? He meant that he appeared to them as one who provides or sustains. He was their provider. And now he's going to appear as a promised keeper. And because of this, he reiterated to Moses the promises he was making to his people. You want to know what those promises were? Let's read. Let's read on here. Verse 6. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression and rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. The things that are weighing you down, holding you back, keeping you in bondage, I'm going to set you free. I will redeem you, buy you back with a powerful arm and great acts of justice. I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. I will bring you into the land I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as your very own possession. I am the Lord. What the Lord promised to do for his people, he will do for you. What the Lord promised to do here for his people, he will do for you and me. He will free you from your oppression and rescue you from your slavery. He will free you from the things that are weighing you down, from the things that are keeping you in bondage. He will rescue you from those things. He will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. He's going to work on your behalf. He will claim you as his own and be your God. He will bring you to the place where you need to be right now in your life. He will give you something far greater than this world can ever give you. Now the question is, do you believe all this? Do you believe all this? Perhaps at this time or season in your life, you don't. You don't believe it. Why? Because life has got you down, and you're just too discouraged to listen anymore. If you're feeling this way, like life has got you down, and you're just too discouraged to listen anymore, I want you to know you're not alone. You're not alone in those feelings. In fact, this is what happened when Moses told the people what the Lord had said. Verse 9. So Moses told the people of Israel what the Lord had said, but they refused to listen anymore. I don't want to hear it. They had become too discouraged. Maybe you're here today and you're discouraged by what's happened in your life. They had become too discouraged by the brutality of this slavery. How did the Lord respond to this? What did the Lord have to say? Moses said, they're not listening to me anymore, Lord. They're too discouraged. Verse 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go back to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and tell him to let the people of Israel leave his country. But Lord, Moses objected, my own people won't listen to me anymore. How can I expect Pharaoh to listen? the Lord asked him to do. He wasn't capable of doing what the Lord asked him to do. He wasn't supposed to go in his own power and strength. He was supposed to go in the power and strength that the Lord would provide. Here's the thing. You cannot get where you need to go without the help of the Lord. Let me say that again. You cannot get where you need to go without the help of the Lord. You need Jesus. So what do you need to do? Seek the Lord and ask Him what He wants you to do. We saw in this opening video this young man come to that conclusion. When you graduate, people ask you, what are you going to do with your life? Once you get out of high school, once you get out of Luther and you graduate, what are you going to say? Right now, I'm asking the Lord what He wants me to do. Because it's not about what I want to do. What does He want me to do? My life is not my own. I was bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I belong to Him. What does He want me to do? That's what I'm asking. What happens when you find out what He wants you to do? He will give you the power and the strength to be able to do it. This is what He did for Moses. He made Moses seem like God to Pharaoh. Let's read on chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. About ready to close here. Then the Lord said to Moses, pay close attention to this. I will make you seem like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. Tell Aaron everything I command you, and Aaron must command Pharaoh to let the people of Israel leave his country. But I will make Pharaoh's heart stubborn so I can multiply my miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Even then, Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you. So I will bring down my fist on Egypt. Then I will rescue my forces, my people, the Israelites. I haven't forgotten about them, and I haven't forgotten about you, says the Lord. From the land of Egypt with great acts of judgment, would I raise my powerful hand and bring out the Israelites? The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Everybody's going to know that I'm the Lord. I like this last part. So Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. Moses was how old? Was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 when they made their demands to Pharaoh. So what is it I want you to notice here? This how old Moses and Aaron were when they made these demands. You may feel like time has passed you by. No matter what age you are today, in some sense, the form or fashion, you may feel like your moment has passed you by. Listen, you have no idea what's right around the corner. You have no idea what door the Lord is going to open up for you, what He's preparing for you, what He's preparing not only for you, but how He's preparing you. I'm sure Moses thought God had given up on him. Why? He was wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. Right? I'm sure he was thinking, God's forgotten about him. Those years weren't wasted. God was preparing Moses to lead His people. And perhaps you feel like a part of your life has been wasted. I want you to know that nothing you my mission.